I had another friend who was living in LA at the time. He's a film director. He was out there before me and he was like, hey, there's this amazing church you got to come to. So I'm like, just, I need church. I don't know what's going on. So he took me to this church in LA. It was called One Church. One Church. And I walk in and I immediately feel the presence of God. It was like love and peace. And just, I feel the presence of God. And I'm looking around and it's all young people. Young, and this is in the middle of Hollywood, actors, singers, dancers, all like worshiping God. And it's like different from what I saw growing up. And I see some people dancing and it's not inappropriate. It's like, it's so pure. It was so pure. And I walk in and I'm wounded. I'm tired. I'm confused, but I know there's a fear of the Lord happening. I don't know what to do. I know I need God. So I'm walking in like, do I raise my hands or, but I'm just praying like, God, you know, please have your way. I give you everything. I give you everything. And I start going to church a lot now. And my best friend, she went to the church and she fell in love with it. So she started going and she's more outgoing than me. So she started going to all like the things like, you know, serving meetings and stuff. So she eventually started serving on the prayer team. And God was doing a work in her at the same time, like, because we were roommates. So it was rubbing off, you know. So she was coming to God too. So she joins the prayer team and she's like, girl, you got to come join the prayer team. I was like, I don't know how to pray. What am I going to do on the prayer team? And so the prayer team leader, which they were all young, they were like 24. They were all young. The prayer team leader, she was like 27 at the time, I want to say. And she was like, come join the prayer team. Don't worry about it. Just come join our meetings. And the meetings were that, praying. It's not like, okay, this is how you're going to pray today. It was just praying. And I was exposed to a different level of the understanding of prayer and what prayer is, petitioning heaven and like praying and believing in God and standing on the word and actually knowing what to do. And so I'm seeing these young people praying and crying and reading scripture and declaring, you know, God's word. And I'm having this desire. I want to pray. I want to be able to pray more. I want to pray and be a prayer warrior. Like I have to, I need to grow with God. And now I'm in this. My roommate at the time, best friend, she was my roommate at the time. And she would wake me up at 12 or 1 in the morning. Girl, let's go to overnight prayer. I'm like, I don't want to, but God used her to really participate in my discipleship and deliverance and growth. It was like I had a partner in that vein to like, you know, push past your fatigue and flesh and really go and pray and like understand what's going on in the spirit. And so I was getting more confidence in God and discerning his presence more in my life. And so much so like, at this point, while I'm, you know, finding this church now and I'm serving this church, I'm still going through struggle. Like, how do I stop having sex? This is hard. How do I stop? Like, now I'm not smoking as much as I was because I was relying on smoking for everything. Now I'm just smoking, you know, socially. I'm not smoking to fall asleep anymore. Occasionally I would because I would feel like afraid or whatever, but I'm still like, I'm not giving everything to God because there's still, you know, I feel lonely. And I just want to entertain this relationship. You know, it's, I needed deliverance from that. So, but now I'm more aware of the presence of God, of his voice. I'm not as shameful or guilty to where I'm running away. Now I'm like, help me through this. It's like, it's weird. I'm still making mistakes, but I'm God, you got to help me. I don't know how to not do this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I remember one night watching a YouTube clip from, are you familiar with that show, Sid Roth, who he interviews like a lot of...
I know. Yes, I know him. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a lot of guests on there that have had amazing experiences with God. And so this one guy was just, he just said something so simple. He's like, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. He's with you right now. And it was like, those words became a reality that God is with me now, like here, not like, you know, far away, like right here. And it broke this view of God and his presence. And it became more tangible and relational to where my entire, like I heard, I'm here. Just lay down. I'm like, okay. So I lay on my bed and then I start feeling from my toes all the way up to my head. My entire body goes numb, like numb, but I'm not afraid. It was like, I'm indwelling. It was like he was showing me that he's indwelling. He's in me. And I remember being there numb, like, whoa. But it was accompanied with love and peace. And then I remember hearing, don't be afraid. Ah, he's lying. Don't listen to him. Ah, you're going crazy. Ah, like a voice, voices. Ah, no, no, you're going crazy. And I'm like, and I hear, it's all right. Just focus on me. Ah. And then those screams stop. It's like they stop. And I realized it was a voice of the enemy, the lies of the enemy that had been ministering to my life, ministering to me. And after that, I started having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It started like every day. Some days I would call out of work because I just couldn't leave my room. I was just praying and worshiping like, you're so real. Why don't people know how real you are? Why don't they know? And God was reminding me of scriptures that I heard as a child. Like, he will never leave you or forsake you. And, you know, all these promises, and it became real. Like, whoa, you're so real. You're supposed to be experienced. You're love. Like, whoa. Like, just these whoa moments, right? And at this time, though, and during this phase of my life, I have this boyfriend who would come over and, you know, hang out, right? And because I'm still like, okay, I'm experiencing God, but oh man, but there's this thing that I can't let go of. And that for me was like sex. So this night he came over, I don't even think we slept together. I think we were just smoking. Because again, now I'm not smoking like round the clock. It's just socially. But now I'm feeling convicted more. Like, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, there's more of a guilt or a weight behind that. Even talking to him, there was like a weight. Like, I shouldn't be here. As before, it was easier to ignore it. Now I'm like, oh, I don't want to like this. And this particular day, he brings a book. And it's I don't even remember the title. I call it the Little Black Book of Egypt, because I think that's what he said it was. But it was like defining that God, there is no God, it's just war, and how war has been the culprit of humanity, whatever. It was very, the paragraph he had me read was so intelligently written that it shattered my faith all in 30 seconds because of how intelligently written it was. And obviously, now looking back, there was all sorts of spiritual demonic stuff on it. So, and I'm still growing in God. I'm vulnerable. So when I read this paragraph of God not being real and Jesus just being like not real, and it was like, oh no. So what have I been experiencing? Is it all a lie? God's not real. So when you die, that's it. You just lights out. And it was literally hope left me, because I'm kind of like an open spirit at this point. I'm not sealed yet. I'm like still searching and growing. So I remember thinking, what the heck is going on with me? What is going on? Am I going crazy? I'm losing my mind. I must be going crazy. I'm hearing voices. I'm having these experiences. I'm losing my mind. And I don't want to go to a psych ward. Like, I remember thinking that because of all the thoughts and information I was getting. So that night, I go to sleep and I wake up, Christina. And now when I'm hearing this voice, it's not in my ear. It's like in my spirit, my whole body responds to it. And it's the same voice that was with me when I had that like numbing experience and things like that. Christina, get up and get your Bible. Okay. It's a voice that you didn't say no to. So I'm like, okay. So I go and get my Bible, and it's nighttime. So the guy's sleeping. My roommate is sleeping. Go into the living room. I go into the living room. I'm like, what next? Open up your Bible to John 3:16. So I open up my Bible. And now this is the scripture that you learn as a child, right? It's one of the foundational scriptures of your faith. Like, open it up. And it's still nighttime. I don't turn on any lights. And it reads, for God so loved the world, but he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And as I'm reading, literally each word is leaping off of the page and coming into my body, like coming in through my eyes. It's illuminated in it. I mean, like, I'm ingesting these words. And after I finished reading, I'm like, oh my God, I get it now. I get why Jesus had to die on the cross. I get why sin had to be conquered, and you bore it all. Like, you took her. Like, I had the understanding before. I never understood it the way that that night it became a part of me. And that night, I believe I got saved because it was like, whoa, that hope that left me earlier, that confusion and all the chaotic thoughts. It's like, I believed it and it became me. I was like, whoa. And that's when the journey of deliverance and really happened for me. The next morning, I slept on the couch that night, by the way. I didn't go back in the room. And the next morning, I told the guy, I know I can't see anymore. And, you know, he left. And now I'm like, I'm praying like around the clock. I'm reading. What next? What else? I'm reading. I'm devouring the word. I'm reading scripture. And God's giving me visions of what I'm going to be doing. And I'm like, when is that going to happen? I want to rush through. And he's like, no, sit with me. Stay with me. Just keep reading. Keep seeking my face. And I'm like, whoa. So I'm reading. I'm praying. I'm getting more visions of different things. And when I say visions, it's like I see myself singing on stage at a church. And I'm like, what? Really? Like, or just different things of me going into a hospital and healing little babies and little kids who are, you know, sick. And I'm like, let's do that now. God's like, it's not time yet. Just sit with me. You know, I want to be about action. And God's like, you need to be full of my spirit. Sit with me. So I'm like, okay. And I'm just worshiping. I'm just singing. And I'm having these encounters with the Holy Spirit where it's like, I'm closing my eyes, but the whole room is so bright. And like, to where I can see the light through my eyes, but it's just regular light. And I'm just having the fellowship with the Lord. I remember thinking, why don't people know how beautiful you are? The world needs to know. The world needs to know. It was like this, he was giving me the desire of his heart, how, you know, he does not want everyone to perish, but to have eternal life. Like, that's literally the mission of my life, is to share the love of God and what he's done for us. And to have known it for myself so I can testify of it, like truly speak about it through experience. And so I'm, this is my life now. I'm like, God, if you did nothing else for me, I'm good here. Like, I don't need anything else. So now I don't have the desire to sleep around anymore, but there's still, like, I remember knowing that he kept saying, I'm delivering you. I'm healing you. So much so I don't want to go anywhere now. I'm like, I just want to pray. I want to go to work and pray. And what was crazy is I met my husband in the midst of my low, what seemed to be my low. And he too was on a journey of following the Lord. He has his own story where he, you know, he was like a drunkard and one time was driving drunk, crashed into a building, and the Lord met him in jail. So he gave his life over to God. And so he's now in our church and we occasionally go through Bible studies together with our friends. And then one day he asked me to ice cream. And then I remember, I was like, God, I'm not trying to go down that rabbit hole. Like, it's me and you. I don't need to date anybody. Like, I don't want to run the risk of falling again, whatever. But God, I felt the peace of God, like, you know, hang out with him. I'm like, okay, but you got to be there. You got to be there, God, because I've experienced too much with you. I don't want to lose your hand over my life. Like, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit the entire time and I'm listening for the instruction. So the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, hang out with him. So we're talking and this man's amazing. Like, but you know, I've dated all the boyfriends I've had in the past, mind you, have been Christian, but their lives say otherwise. I just needed to know that you believe in Jesus and that was enough for me. So when not husband at the time, but when Stefan, who I'm just hanging out with, when he's like, yeah, I'm celibate. I was like, no, I'm really celibate. And he's like, no, I am too. And after he said that, it was like my spiritual eyes were open, because God would do that. He would open my spiritual eyes from time to time to see things. And I saw, it was like, you know how light reflects off water? It was like a gold reflection on his face, shimmered for just a second, just enough for me to notice it, but also enough for him to not notice that I saw something. So I was like, whoa, in my mind. And then I heard the Lord say, because he's been faithful to me, I'm blessing him with you. And I remember for a split moment, what? I'm his blessing. What about me? You know what I mean? Like really quick. And then, but just as quickly as I thought that, I heard, and in return, because of your faithfulness, I'm blessing you with him. And then I saw my husband, Stefan's past, present, and future. I saw the chaos and the just lifestyle he was living to his consecration now, meaning like he was seriously like he cut off everything, drinking, smoking, sex. He cut it all off because he was really pursuing God. And then I saw his future. Like I saw him where he is now, what we're doing now, but more. And I said, I say yes to that, God. Because it was almost like God was like, what do you think? Like, do you say yes to this? Because he didn't tell me this is what you're going to do. It was like a, will you take this? I said, yes. And in this, because again, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. I'm like, oh, okay, yes. But you still got to guide me through this. And he did. So we went down that whole vein of relationship. But basically, we dated for 6 months and got it. He proposed. And then 7 months later, we got married. And God confirmed it along the way. He confirmed that relationship time and time again through sermons that our pastors were speaking and just through situations. That's like, okay. But it came with a mandate because I saw like our calling and I knew that's why we were celibate our entire relationship. And because I knew the hand of God was on it and I did not want to corrupt what God was doing. And I knew that if we had sex before marriage, it would have ruined what God was doing. So